Sfarno Parshas Kisisa. So the parsha begins with the mitzvah to count Bnei Yisrael, and each have to give the machtzis hashekel, because if you count Bnei Yisrael directly, we know it's dangerous. It could be a plague happened from it to you. Instead, you collect the machtzis hashekel, and then we count the shekels, and this way there's no issues. So the question is, what's the problem with counting people directly? So the Sfarno has a unique pshat. He says, why do you ever count people like a nation? Because people die, and you have to know how many are still here. So that's why you count people. But why do people die? Ultimately, it's because of chait. Like the Gemara says in Shabbos, ein misa b'lo chait. So people dying is ultimately because of chait. And therefore, the act of counting people is a maskeres chait. It reminds Hashem of chait. And therefore, if you count the machtzis hashekel acts as a kapara, and you're not counting the people, so then it's not maskir chait. Okay, that's this plot. Then we have the mitzvah of the kiyor. So the Sfarno wants to know, like he asked last week's parsha in Tetzaveh, he asked why the Mizbeach HaKetores was mentioned in Tetzaveh and not mentioned in Truma. So here too, because that's where most of the kelim are mentioned, in Truma. So here too, why is the kiyor mentioned here in Kisisa and not earlier when we were mentioning like the menorah and the shulchan? So the Sfarno answers very simply that the other kelim, the menorah, say, and the shulchan, those were all to bring the shechina into the makom hamishkan. Whereas the kiyor is just a hechsher mitzvah. The kiyor is just to get the kohanim ready to do avoda, but it's not something that brings the shechina directly itself. Okay. Then we have the making of the shemen hamishcha, and it says that you're going to use olive oil, which is one hin. One hin is 12 lugin. It's 144 ounces, or a little bit more than 4 liters, which in our world is a little bit more than 2 soda bottles. It's not a lot of oil. So Rashi brings the machlokas brought in the Gemara, that there's two possibilities of what they did. Now, the Sfarno has a shot in this Gemara that's a little bit different than the way Rashi seems to bring it. Rashi says that one opinion is that they cooked the oil straight with the spices. I think it was Rabbi Yehuda who responded to that. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda said to that, that that's not possible. It's not enough oil. Not enough oil to cook directly with the spices. It'll get used up. So it must be that they put water on the spices so that it wouldn't be nivla. Then they put the oil on top of that. And then this way the oil got the reach of the besamim, and they used that for the shemen hamishcha. Okay, so the Sfarno says, yeah, but that doesn't explain the first opinion. The first opinion also, it's not possible. You can't use so little oil and cook that with so many spices. So the Sfarno says everyone agrees that it wasn't directly with the spices. What it was is, according to the first opinion, they took water and cooked it with the spices. Water. Then they took that water and cooked that with the olive oil, with the olive oil. And water, of course, boils out faster, right? So they cooked them together, the water boils out. The water already had the reach of the besamim. You take that water, cook it with the oil, and they cooked out the water, and then you had the shemen mishcha smelling nice. And in the other opinion was not exactly like Rashi brings it either, but rather they soaked the oil with water. I'm sorry, I said it bad. They soaked the besamim with water. They soaked the besamim with water. And they took that water that now has the smell of the besamim and put the oil on top of that and then slowly cooked it out so that the oil would get the reach of the besamim. Those are the two possibilities. Okay. Then we have the making of the ketores. So it says, take for you a certain amount of things and samim. So the Sfarno explains that the samim, which were specific items, the Chazal tell us, those were to make the things that the Torah said taste good. You know, in other words, let's say there are certain people who like to have salt on their watermelon. Maybe you've never heard of that, but and barbecues, there is such a thing to put salt on a watermelon because the salt brings out the sweetness, actually, of the watermelon. Okay, anyway, the point is that there are things that bring out the taste or the smell of something else. Like it's a tikkun for the original thing. So that's what he says. This friend says, samim, the samim that you're bringing are a tikkun on the ones listed in the pasuk. The notaf, the Nataf, what is it? Chalbana, the things are listed in the Pasuk. Nataf, Shchelas, and Chalbana. So you bring with that Samim, but you bring with that things that fix it up. Okay, then it says that Hashem chose Bezalel to be the one who puts together the Mishkan, and that's because he, of his Chachma, so the Sfarna writes, it's not just like it's nice to have someone who's smart and knows the holy things to have in mind. It's a dover ikri b'mleches hakodesh, he says, which is interesting. It has to be done with someone who's very holy, who is mechavin with what he does to the right things, and that brings the Mishkan to its purpose. And it's interesting that the Gemara in Brachos says that Bezalel knew how to be mitzarif osios shenivru behem shemayim baretz. He knew how to put together the letters that were used for creating heaven and earth. The version I have of the Svarno in the notes, it just mentions that they're saying, we know the 39 malachas of Shabbos are learned from the Mishkan, and Shabbos is, remembering that Hashem created the world. What does that have to do with the Mishkan? What does knowing how to put Shemayim and Aretz together have to do with, why does Bezalel have to do that? There seems to be some kind of new type of creating of the world again with the Mishkan. Exactly what that means, I don't know. They definitely seem to be connected. The person in the notes here called it like a Madura Basra of the world, a second version of the world. I don't know, but it has to do with to being some kind of mirror of the world we're in, and you had to have from the spiritual side, know what to have in mind so that the Mishkan would reach its tachlis. Of course, right afterwards, we talked about Shabbos itself, and that Shabbos should be Kodesh LaShem, which the Sfarno, I'm just going to read it for you. It says, Shiyi ha'adam ba'opona lagamri mechai eshoa. And Shabbos, you're supposed to be completely removed from this world. La'asok b'iske chaye olam l'chvod kono. So completely removed from being osik in iske chaye olam, all in honor of Hashem. You totally remove yourself from this world to just be osik in mitzvos and not osik in chaye olam hazeh. And listen to this: B'shamar v'nei Yisrael says Shabbos. You should keep Shabbos, says the Sfarno, in this world, olam hazeh. La'asos es haShabbos in the next world. Keep Shabbos in this world so that you can make Shabbos in the next world. Well, I don't know that the Sfarno was talking about this at all, but there is a thing that we know: neshamas don't go to Gehenna, don't burn in Gehenna on Shabbos. So that's not Olam Abba, that's the Olam, where the neshamas, whatever, the in-between stage. But if you keep Shabbos in this world, so then in the next world, and your neshama gets to keep Shabbos, and there's no fires on Shabbos. But otherwise not. It's actually a Zohar in Parshas Vayakel. It says, Lo sabar reish b'chol mashmosechem b'yom HaShabbos, as far as the Zohar says, that if you keep Shabbos in this world, they won't light a fire for you in the next world. Anyway, but he's talking about Olam Haba. If you keep Shabbos in this world, you'll make Shabbos in the next world. What exactly that means, not 100% clear. But anyway, that's what he says, the last is the Shabbos. It's not a new commandment. It's Mamela. You will make the Shabbos in the next world. Okay, then we have Chet Egel. And after they sin and Moshe davens for them, Moshe says, Lama Hashem yichere apcha b'mecha. Why should you get angry at your nation? Who's your nation? So the Sfarno says, Bosom shalochatu be'egel. Those who did not sin in the Egel, those are your nation. Remember Hashem told Moshe, go down from Harsinai, Kishiches Amcha, your Moshe nation, your kids, it's your nation that sinned. So Moshe is saying back, why should you get angry, Hashem, at your nation? Those are the people who didn't sin. Anyway, he comes down from the mountain and he sees, it says, Vayaras Egel and Mecholos. He saw the Egel and the dancing. Vayichar af Moshe, and he got very angry. So the Sfarno explains, Kishara shayu smechem bekilkel. So when he saw that they were happy, then he gave up hope. Then he realized that they're not going to be able to do, to go back to the level that they would be able to get these luchos. And then he broke it because they were happy in their sin. So you see, how powerful that is, being happy with a mitzvah, and the opposite, being happy with an avera, that is much more powerful if you're happy with it. And in fact, when Moshe comes and complains to Aaron, why'd you make them an eagle? So He says, you brought a chata agadola. The Sforno explains what he was very upset about was the chag. Not so much that Aaron made the egel, but why do you have to make a chag l'Hashem machar? Why do you have to make a chag? Once you make a chag, then everybody is happy about it, and so that's a much bigger avera. So that's what Moshe was saying. Why Aaron, did you make, not why did you make them an egel, but why did you make a chag? Then it says, Moshe saw the nation that they were farua. What does it mean that they were farua? It means it was revealed. What? Revealed their evil. Kifra o Aharon, because Kifra o Aharon, which means that nobody helped Aharon. So that means there's no tzaddikim. Now, the Sforno points out, it's not even that most of Klai Yisrael served Avodah Zarah. They did not. But they didn't stop those who tried to force Aaron to make an idol and did this whole thing. So they were all guilty in that sense. Now listen to this. Remember, he tells Sheva Levi to go and kill all the people who worshipped Avodah Zarah. It says that they should be Ivru Vashovu Mishar Lashar. Go everywhere, walk back and forth, till you find the people that sinned. And this is, isn't this great? Listen to this point. The reason you should walk all over the place is so that there are people who worshipped Avodah Zarah and people who didn't stop people from worshipping Avodah Zarah. So the people who worshipped Avodah Zarah, you're going to kill them because they deserve to die. And the people who sinned in that they didn't stop anyone from worshipping Avodah Zarah, they'll get a kapara that they're not going to stop you from killing the people who worshipped Avodah Zarah. So that'll be their takana. Now, Hashem said, threatened to wipe out Klal Yisrael. Or that had been a possibility. And Moshe says, "In tisa chatasem, good. If you forgive them, good. Vim ayin mecheni na mesifrcha. And if not, erase me from your sefer." What does that mean? The Sforno has a beautiful pshat. He says it means a person's good deeds are written down in a sefer, right? Kol ma'asecha b'sefer neftavim. So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, if you won't forgive them, then wipe out my schosim and give it to them. Isn't that amazing? Means erase me from your sefer of good deeds and give it to Klal Yisrael to save them. And Hashem's response is, Mi asher chatali emchenu misifri. So the Sforno understands that that's a question. Mi asher chatali emchenu misifri. Someone who sinned to me, I will erase them from my sefer. That is to say, forget you, Moshe. Let's say Klal Yisrael, they had their own schusim, let's say. If I erased their schusim, would that make it that they're okay? No. Because one has nothing to do with the other. If someone has mitzvahs, they get schar for the mitzvahs. If they have averus, they have schar, they get a punishment for the averus. One doesn't wipe one out. The mitzvahs are mitzvahs, the averus are averus. And you can't delete one with the other. And Kolshkin, he can't take Moshe's mitzvahs and wipe out Klal Yisrael's averus. So Hashem was telling him that doesn't work. Okay, then Hashem says, I'm not going to travel with you, Klal Yisrael, anymore because it's too dangerous for you. And therefore, this higher level that you reached at Har Sinai, Hared Edyecha Me'alecha, take that off of you, meaning that high level of Ruchnius, take it away, because you shouldn't be at that level, it's too dangerous for you to be at that level, and my Shechina won't be with you anymore. Okay, then, and it says, okay, before we get, so Hashem is saying, the Shechina's not going to be with you anymore, rather, you're going to get a Malach. It says, just Agav, that Yeshua wasn't Yomish Mitoch Ha'ol. Sforno says he was guarding it because all of Klal Yisrael was, kicked out kind of at that time. And this was a makum for Ashras Hashchina, so he'd keep everybody out. Okay, anyway, that Moshe says, Hashem, you said you'd send us a malach that would kick out the enemies. Okay, that's good for when we get into Eretz Yisrael. What about in the meantime, while we're in the Midbar? And you tell me Yedaticha B'Shem. So, Yedaticha B'Shem sounds like you're going to be connected to Moshe. So, that means Moshe is supposed to be the Malach. Moshe will be the Malach to lead them in the Midbar. So, if so, Hodieni Na'as Derechacha, show me your ways. Now, what do your ways mean? As Sforno says, without giving an answer, just the question, the ways that Moshe wanted to know is, how could it be that just with your Yediya, Hashem, you're able to give mitzias to the world. Hashem is non-physical, so how does, just with Hashem's idea, the physical world exists? And second, if Hashem knows the future, How is it possible that people have the ability to choose? So explain me your ways, ve'edacha, and then I'll know you. So in other words, I'll know you to some level. Because by knowing Hashem, we are motzei chen be'enav. That's what we said before. Another parsh in the Truma, I think it was, that by knowing the Torah, or you know Hashem's ways, by knowing Hashem's ways, you are motzei chen be'enav. And he also says, that this guy is amcha, that only through them is your name known, and in your, with amongst them is your name known, and not amongst the guy. Like it says, no deb Yehuda Elokim. And as we know, Hashem says, you can't see my front, my face, but you can see my back. What does that mean? Hashem showed him the kesher of the tefillin. What does that mean? So the Sfarno says, you'll be able to see the pu'ulos of that which is under me. But panai lo yiro, but you can't see me. In other words, you won't be able to see how from my metzias the world comes into existence. Be able to see from a level down. So whatever exactly that means. Again, I'm using a certain sefer that has footnotes on the bottom. According to this, it means that there's the tefillin sharosh. If you imagine, there's the actual tefillin. It connects to the kesher, and the kesher connects the ritzuos that go down the body. So Moshe was able to see the kesher. That is, he was able to see on some level of ruchnias from there down, to see how from that kesher comes down the body. In other words, seeing some level of how from some level of ruchnias it becomes the physical world and created. But he wasn't able to see the tefillin, which in this case would be whatever the concept of Hashem, to the kesher. Like that was above. That's not possible for a human to see or understand or whatever. But the kesher down, that he could have, that he could see. That's how he saw Hashem's back. The kesher of tefillin. Okay. Eshkol local Kabbalist. Okay, then we have the Yud Gimel Midos. So the Sfarno explains, Hashem, Hashem, what are the two Hashems? Hashem who gives Mitzios, Hashem creates things from nothing, and it's Hashem who sustains it, who keeps it going. Kael, that is powerful, he can do what he wants, whatever he wants. He's merciful on those, Rachum is merciful on those who are chayev to make their onesh not as bad when they daven to him. He's chanun in that he does good to those who ask him for it, even if they're not roy for it. He's slow to anger, erech apayim, for tzaddikim and rishayim, so that they'll do tshuva. He's rav chesed, and that is his mata klape chesed. He lets, if a person's one off, has one more avera than a mitzvah, I'm sorry, if it's 50-50, he makes it more chesed, more mitzvos than averos, and not just 50-50. But emes is seemingly not really one of the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim. Emes is that if the person is deserving, then they'll get what they deserve. I mean, for negative too. And then we have Hashem is no tzachesed la'alavim, and he's no siyamim of Hashem v'chatav v'nakei. It says v'nakei lo yinakeh. So it's when is it v'nakei? That's when it's tshuva me'ava. The person does tshuva out of love. So then their mitzvos, their aviros become mitzvos, so that's cleaned. Lo yinakeh, that's when they're not completely wiped away. That's when the tshuva is done out of fear of punishment. Okay, then it says, Vayimaher Moshe. Moshe ran quickly to bow down. So what's the Vayimaher? It's the Sfarno explains, it's Tosefes Achna. It's just an extra Achna. To bow quickly, it shows you really have Achna. Okay. And then Moshe does not want that there should be a Malach. Moshe wants Hashem to be with Kalei Shel. But here's the issue. Hashem said if his Shechina is with them, so then when they sin, they'll get wiped out. So that's why Moshe is saying that you who will have Rachmanos on us and forgive us when we say the Yud Gimel Midos, so we want you, Hashem, better than this angel who has no possibility of forgiveness. Maybe a lower level as far as what you have to do around him. But if you sin, there's no coming back. Whereas with you, Hashem, you are, it's a higher level. We have to be more careful, but you forgive. Then he said, the Pasuk says, Elohim Asecha lo sasalach, what are Elohim Asecha? He said, these are talismans, that usually actually uses that word, talisma'ot, that are made, that are supposed to help the person. So he says, you might think that that's fine. No, Hashem wants you to call out to Hashem, and nothing else. Okay, one last thing is that the Shoftim, he mentions at the end, because it talks about Espanei Ha'adon Elokei Yisrael, that is, Hashem is Mesader, everything for Klal Yisrael. in Yanim Ruchniim that are above nature, that no one, nothing else could do except for things called Elohim, which is spiritual powers. And Hashem is Elokei HaElokim. Hashem is the God of that. He controls all of it. He gives powers to everything. And he says, that's why, this is the interesting part, that's why he says judges are called Elohim, because sometimes they can judge with supernatural powers. Like Shlomo, that it said, Ki chachmas Elokim bekirbo lasos mishpat. And it says, V'lo lamare eina vishpot v'lo mishma azav yuchiach. So he had some kind of spiritual help from Hashem to know what to do. And the Sanhedrin had the same thing. That's why they're called Elohim, because they have above natural powers to do the right thing, to judge properly, even though they couldn't possibly have known. And where does that power come from? Hashem. And that's why Hashem is Elokei Elokim. Okay.